الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له، ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، فقد قال الله سبحانه وتعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. رضي الله عنهم ورضوا عنه، ذلك الفوز العظيم. صدق الله العظيم. My most beloved brothers and elders, each one of us is well aware of the trying conditions the Ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is going through. It seems as though each day the challenges are becoming more severe, whether in the form of an earthquake, a natural disaster, flood, or whether they are killings and zulm and oppression that is taking place. In a hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the gist of the hadith is that waves upon waves of fitna and conditions will come upon the ummah to such an extent that a person will feel as he is just undergoing a very great trial and tribulation, that this fitna is going to finish me up. When it just disappears and another more severe and more difficult condition comes upon him, like a wave of the ocean, as one goes by, the next one is already lashing out at him. And then he will see, هَذِهِ مُهْلِكَتِي. This is the one that's going to destroy me. But each fitna and challenge that comes, it makes the first condition seem to be lighter and easier, less difficult. In other words, the fitnas become more and more severe. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect all of us. We are not going to now discuss the conditions of the entire globe today. Each one of us, we read the literature, we are well aware of the media and what reports are being given every day about the different natural disasters in the entire world. We're not going to lament over this now. We make dua for the entire ummah and for ourselves. What we will discuss today is the life of very eminent sahabi of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And of course, every single sahabi is eminent. Every single sahabi is a guiding star. Like one colleague of mine mentioned, that in the class of the sahaba radiallahu anhum ajma'in, you will never find a dropout. Everyone passed with excellence. Every person lived a life in accordance to the Quran and the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and they reached the ultimate success. We will discuss today a glimpse of the biography of Hazrat Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma. He was a young sahabi. And this is the amazing thing about this sahabi. On the demise of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this sahabi was only 13 years of age. Yet, he was known to be as Turjumanul Quran, one who was an authority on the Quran and also the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He was given the title of Habru Hadhihi al-Ummah, the very great, pious and learned scholar of the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sahaba would call him because of his profound knowledge of the Quran and sunnah. Sahaba would call him also Al-Bahr, who was an ocean of knowledge. Bahrun means ocean. He narrates 1,660 ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He only spends 30 months, 2.5 years in the company of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this is the amazing fact, that such a young sahabi, such a short period of time in the close proximity of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that in the words of one of the very senior tabi'een, Masruq rahmatullahi alayhi, he says, إِذَا رَأَيْتُهُ when I used to see Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma, قُلْتُ أَجْمَلَ النَّاسِ. I would say he was the most handsome of men. Very, very handsome, good looking. وَإِذَا نَتَقَى when he used to speak, قُلْتُ I would say, أَفْسَحَ النَّاسِ, the most eloquent of people. وَإِذَا تَحَدَّثَ and when he would engage in discourses, and when he would teach the Qur'an in Sunnah, and he would converse with us, قلت, I would say, أَعْلَمُ النَّاسِ, he is the most learned of the people. Before we continue his biography, it is important and vital that we just share some information about his parents. As one person mentioned in Arabic, ملك هذا الصحابي الجليل الكريم ملك المجد من أطرافه. This young Sahabi of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he gained distinctions and glory from all sides. مجد القرابة ومجد العلم ومجد السحبة ومجد التقاة. He was the son of Abbas radiallahu ta'ala an, who was the uncle of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Abbas radiallahu ta'ala an, a very close uncle of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, 2 years elder than Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in age. Later on in his life, somebody asked Abbas radiallahu ta'ala an, man akbar, anta am Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Who was bigger, you or Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? The words that this questioner used was akbar, which means bigger, greater. He says, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam kana akbar minni. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was more greater than myself. I, ana asannu minhu. I am just elder in age. This is the adab he used. Abbas radiallahu ta'ala, prior to accepting Islam, of course, he was in Makkah. And he was from that family who were known as the custodians of the Makkah. They were in charge of the haram. They were in charge of feeding and giving water to the pilgrims. When he was a little child, then he went missing one day. And his mother, by the name of Nutayla, in time of Jahiliyyah, she made a vow, she took a qasam, an oath, that if my son comes back to me, if I get my son back, then I promise to drape the Kaaba with a silk cloth. When Abbas radiallahu anhu was found, and then we find that his mother, then she takes a silk cloth and she covers the Kaaba. She is the first Arab woman who draped the Kaaba with a ghilaf. The first Arab woman. Nevertheless, Abbas radiallahu ta'ala, in the time of Makkah, he was among with the mushrikeen. He had not accepted Islam. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was persecuted in Makkah, he made hijrah. Abbas radiallahu anhu's wife, by the name of Lubabah. It's important we know these names. These are our beloved Sahaba. We need to be familiarize ourselves with these people whom Allah had chosen. If we distance ourselves with this important knowledge of history and the seerah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then wallah, my brothers, we will never appreciate the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We will never appreciate those around Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Their mawa'iz, their lessons, their advices, their teachings, their guidelines, the guidance, the lifestyle they left behind, the legacy they left behind. It will mean nothing to us. And we will not be able to get any guidance from them. Therefore, we need to inculcate in ourselves and in the lives of our children. And that is why I particularly chose Abdullah ibn Abbas, who was a youngster. Everybody cries about the youth. What are we doing? What are the ulama doing about the youth? And they're taking drugs and this is happening and that happening. Let us make them understand the lives of the youth of the Sahaba. Nevertheless, Abbas radiallahu ta'ala, his wife is Lubaba. She is known as Ummul Fadl. She is the first woman after Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha to accept Islam. So she is a Muslim.
Abbas is not a Muslim. In that time, that such a nikah was permissible. We're not going into the details of that. This is before the laws of nikah. There are four sisters. Her other sister is Salma radiallahu ta'ala anha. She is married to Hamza radiallahu ta'ala anha, who becomes shaheed. Another sister is Asma radiallahu ta'ala anha, who is married to Ja'far radiallahu ta'ala anha, who becomes shaheed in Muta. Her third sister is Maymuna radiallahu ta'ala anha, who becomes the wife of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So now we see the family. Abdullah, his father is Abbas, who is the uncle of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and therefore he becomes the cousin of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then his mother, Lubaba, she is a sister of Maymuna. In other words, his khala, his maternal aunt, is the wife of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Abbas radiallahu ta'ala, when he accepts Islam, in some time in the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Nabi of Allah sees him in a very distressed condition, he's very upset. What is wrong, oh my uncle? He says, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I do not know what is wrong with the different types of Quraysh. When they meet one another, they meet one another with a smile, and they embrace one another, they are so happy. But when they look at me, and they frown, they give me a cold shoulder. They don't welcome me. They don't treat me with respect. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then mentions, and he says, لا يدخل قلب رجل منكم الإيمان. Iman never enters the heart of any one of you people. حتى يحبكم. Until Abbas, this person begins to love you, لله ورسوله, for the sake of Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In other words, he does not have true iman and perfect iman if he doesn't show love to you. Because Abbas radiallahu ta'ala is from the Ahlul Bayt of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then he says, man azal Abbas, whoever gives Abbas radiallahu ta'ala my uncle taklif and hurts him, faqad adhani, he has hurt me. In another hadith in Tirmidhi, it is mentioned, al-Abbasu minni wa ana minhu. Abbas is from me, I am from him. Meaning, we are close, really related. We have a close connection, a close bond and tie. Once Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells Abbas, radiallahu ta'ala, Abbas, bring, come to me on the morning of the next Monday with your children. I will make such a dua for them. يَنْفَعُكَ اللَّهُ بِهَا وَوَلَدَكَ. Allah will benefit you through this dua and your children. Abbas radiallahu anhu comes with his children. Abdullah is also amongst them. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gives them a shawl of his own and makes him wear the shawl. And then he makes a dua which we hear in the second khutbah of Jumu'ah. Allahumma ghfir lil Abbas wa waladihi maghfiratan zahiratan wa batina la tughadiru dhanba. Which simply means, oh Allah, forgive them completely. Forgive Abbas and his family. Externally, internally, completely, don't leave any sin behind. They must be completely forgiven, O Allah. وَفِي رِوَايَةٍ اللَّهُمَّ احْفَظْهُ فِي وَلَدِي. O Allah, protect Abbas with regards to his children. Abdullah is born in Makkah, in Shi'b Abi Talib. In the trying conditions and times when Muslims were persecuted, they were ostracized, there was a boycott, they were in the valley of Abu Talib. In this valley, Lubaba gives birth to Abdullah. Abbas radiallahu anhu is also there. He was from the same family. Although he had not accepted Islam at that time. But he was with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He comes to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Oh, my beloved nephew, this is my son. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam takes Abdullah and places his mubarak saliva and he makes a tahniq of Abbas, of Abdullah. The mubarak saliva of Rasulullah goes into his mouth and of course into his belly. So the first thing that goes into this child's body is the saliva of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We know then hijrat takes place. So Abdullah was born 3 years before the hijrat. When hijrat takes place, Abdullah is still in Makkah with his father and mother. Abbas had not embraced Islam. Battle of Badr, he takes part in the Battle of Badr on the side of the Mushrikeen. He fights against the Muslims. He is taken as a captive by the Muslims. He is tied. He is chained. That night, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is restless. Sahaba see this. Ya Rasulullah, what is the matter? You are restless, you are parishan, you are bechain. He says, Aninu Ammi Abbas. I can hear the groans, the moans of my uncle Abbas who has been chained, he's tied. Sahaba go and they release him. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, no, don't do this. We have to show justice in Islam. When it comes to paying a ransom, when the captives had to pay some ransom and free themselves, each one paid some sum. Abbas radiallahu ta'ala, when it is his turn to pay, Sahaba said, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this is your uncle, we can't take any money from him, any ransom. Let him go free. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stopped them. He said, no. The justice of Islam demands that he also must pay. Abbas radiallahu anhu says, Ya Rasulullah, I got nothing. He said, oh Abbas, what about the treasure that you and Ummul Fadl had hidden at home? Abbas radiallahu anhu gets a shock of his life. Only him and his wife knew about this treasure. From that very moment he realizes that this is definitely the Nabi of Allah. He goes, pays a ransom and he goes back to Makkah. Shortly after that, according to many historians, he embraces Islam. But يَكْتُمُ إِسْلَامَهُ, he would conceal his Islam because Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam commands him to do so. Just remain quiet about your Islam and just inform me whatever is happening in Makkah by means of letters. So Abbas stayed in Makkah. It was his burning desire to make the hijrat. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in one riwayat, it is mentioned that, oh Abbas, just like how Allah made me the seal of prophets, I became the Khatamun Nabiyin, like that you will be the last person to make hijrat, and hijrat will be sealed with you. Just before the conquest of Makkah, before Fath Makkah, Abbas radiallahu ta'ala was given permission. He comes with his wife and his son Abdullah at a place called Juhfa, just before Medina. He had made the hijrat. He meets Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam there. The belongings are taken to Medina and he joins Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam from Juhfa back to Makkah for Fath Makkah. He was the last person to make the hijrat of Islam. He is the Sahabi of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. His wife is a Sahabiya. His son Abdullah is a Sahabi. And now, in Medina for the remaining period, it is mentioned that Abdullah bin Abbas radiallahu ta'ala, the Sahabi who we are talking about today, he clung onto Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. His nurturing, his tarbiyat was done in the madrasa of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He seized every single opportunity to drink from the fountain of knowledge from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He would run and rush and hurry to make the khidmat of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He was 11, 12 years old. When he came to bring the wudu water of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he would go rush and bring the wudu water. Any other things Rasulullah required, he was there. He would listen very attentively, with a very watchful eye. Therefore, Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala, when he would see Abdullah bin Abbas coming, he would say, Fatal kuhul. لَهُ لِسَانٌ سَأُولٌ وَقَلْبٌ عَقُولٌ Fatan in Arabic means a youngster. Kuhul, middle-aged people, elderly people. It was because of the knowledge that he possessed on account of a dua of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that when he brought the wudu water for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam once in the house of Maymuna, his khala, he had resided there for some time. Because he wanted to see the ibadat of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He wanted to watch and observe Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam's life at home. It is mentioned in the kitabs that Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam shared a pillow lengthwise. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam placed his head, his mubarak head, and next to him was his wife Maymuna radiallahu ta'ala anha. And on the other side, the breadth of the pillow was used by Abdullah bin Abbas radiallahu ta'ala. From this we understand the simple, humble life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Not even a spare pillow they had. And he explains how Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam rises at night for tahajjud salat. He reads the verses in the fourth para, inna fi khalqi samawati wal ard. He is getting ready to make wudu. Abdullah rushes, he brings the wudu water. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam perhaps did not know it was Abdullah who brought the water. He asked, who brought this wudu water for me? He said, I brought it, Ya Rasulullah. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam becomes so delighted, so happy. Look at the enthusiasm of this youngster. Look at the eagerness of this child. At this part of the night, he brings my water for me to make wudu so I can make the ibadat of my Allah. He says, Allahumma faqihhu fi deen. Wallah, give him the understanding of deen. In one riwayat, Allahumma allimhu al-kitab wal-hikmah. Wallah, give him the understanding of the Quran and Sunnah. In one riwayat, Allahumma barik fihi. Wallah, bless this child. Wanshur minhu. And Wallah, spread knowledge from him. Such du'as Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made for Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu. That Umar radiallahu ta'ala would call Abdullah in his special gathering when he would make mashwara. In a gathering of the veterans of Badr, the senior people of Badr, the ashyakh of Badr, they would be sitting and he would be given the privilege to sit with them. Somebody remarked, what about our sons? Why are they not called here? What's so great about Abdullah ibn Abbas? Umar radiallahu then asked them a question. إِذَا جَاءَ نَصْرُ اللَّهِ وَالْفَتْحُ the surah. Tell me, what do you people understand from it? People gave their opinions, whatever they understood. Somebody said, when the help of Allah and victory comes, etc., whatever tafsir they knew, they mentioned. Oh, Abdullah, is this what you understand? He says, no, I understand something else. He says, from this surah I understood that this was an indication to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that now your life in this world is coming to an end. Umar radiallahu anhu says, oh Abdullah, wallah, this is the same thing that I have understood and what you have said is correct. Then the others understood why Umar radiallahu anhu is calling Abdullah bin Abbas. He would consult him. He would ask him, is this the right thing to do? Shall we go proceed with this? Youngster. Do we have such youth today? Who we can consult in our dini matters? Can we consult with them in our worldly matters? We are our youngsters today. What is the use we lament and cry when we fail to bring them to the masjid even? My respected brothers and elders, Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu, Umar radiallahu anhu, see, Fatal Kuhul, he is that youngster who was given the privilege to sit with the middle-aged people, the senior people. Lisanun Sa'ul, he had a tongue which would question, ask questions, intelligent questions. Why like this? Why was this ayat revealed? When was this ayat revealed? He would go to the Sahaba radiallahu anhu majmain. He would go to Umar. He would go to Ali radiallahu ta'ala. He would go to Ubay bin Ka'ab radiallahu ta'ala. After some time, he became a mufti of Medina, a mufti of the Sahaba. He would give fatwas and verdicts in the time of Abu Bakr and Umar radiallahu ta'ala. Such was his maqam and status. He adhered, he clung to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then, qalbun aqul, he had a mind, a heart that could understand and get the true meaning of deen, because Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Allahumma faqihhu fi deen. And this is the dua all of us should make for ourselves and our children. Oh Allah, give us the understanding of deen. So we understand the injunctions of Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam correctly. And we can practice His teachings and his commandments accordingly. So he stayed in the company of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He gained from the knowledge of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And thereafter, he became a muallim. And prior to this, it is mentioned about the journeys Abdullah would take just to learn a hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When it would come to him, the news would reach him, this particular sahabi, staying far away, he knows a hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. To verify that hadith, or to listen to that hadith directly from that sahabi, he would undertake that journey in the hot summer's day, mid-afternoon. He would go and sit at the doorstep of the sahabi. He would not even knock on the door. Why? He would not disturb the sleep of the sahabi. He would wait. After some time, it is mentioned the hot wind would blow on his face. It's uncomfortable. He makes a sacrifice. When the sahabi would later on open his door and say, oh, cousin of Rasulullah, what are you doing here? He says, I have come to learn something from you. Did you hear this hadith from Rasulullah? He would read the hadith. He would say that, why didn't you tell me? I would have come to you. Why did you take so much of trouble? He says, no. I want to learn the hadith of Rasulullah. I should humble myself and come to you. Such was his humility. Such was his love for knowledge and ulama. The Zayd bin Thabit radiallahu ta'ala, who was known as the special, the most important scribe of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, When wahi was coming down once to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he had his head on the lap of Zayd bin Thabit. And Zayd bin Thabit could not bear the weight of the wahi coming down upon Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, whose head was on the lap of Zayd. Zayd radiallahu anhu says, it was almost that my lap was splitting asunder. I could not bear the weight of the wahi that was coming down upon Rasulullah at that time. Zayd bin Thabit was a scribe of Rasulullah. He would write down the ayats of the Quran. The same Zayd bin Thabit radiallahu anhu, he's an alim, a very senior alim of Medina amongst the Sahaba. He is going on the camel. Suddenly Abdullah bin Abbas, a younger student of deen, he runs forward. He grabs hold of the rein of those horses and he tries to escort him, show him respect. Zayd bin Thabit will say, what are you doing, O cousin of Rasulullah? Why are you doing this to me? He says, هَكَذَا أُمِرْنَا أَن نَفْعَلَ بِعُلَمَائِنَا. This is how our Nabi Sallam commanded us. This is how we should conduct ourselves with our ulama-i kiram. This is the respect we should show them. Zayd bin Thabit radiallahu ta'ala, then immediately he grabs the hand of Abdullah bin Abbas, kisses him. Abdullah says, what are you doing, O Zayd? He says, هَكَذَا أُمِرْنَا أَن نَفْعَلَ بِأَهْلِ بَيْتِ رَسُولِنَا صلى الله عليه وسلم. This is what my Nabi has commanded us to do with the family, with his family, the Ahl Bayt, that we should show them love and respect. Look at the mutual love they had. Look at the unity they had. To understand what a human being Abdullah bin Abbas was. We talk about being a humanitarian. He's making i'tikaf in the masjid. And suddenly a person comes and talks to him. Very grieved. He's got a serious problem. Abdullah bin Abbas says, I'll sort it out for you. Can you sort it out for me? He says, yes. Come, let's go. He goes out of the masjid. This person says, aren't you in the i'tikaf? He says, yes, I am in i'tikaf. I've broken my i'tikaf. So he says, why have you broken your i'tikaf? He says, I've heard Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saying, man masha fi hajiti akhi, wa balagha fiha, whoever goes, walks in the need of his brother, and he endeavors and he fulfills the need of his brother. He's got some problem, some worry, some concern, some distress. He goes and he fulfills the need of his brother. فَأَنَا خَيْرًا لَهُ. It is far better for him. مِنْ اِعْتِكَافِ أَشْرِ سِنِينَ. Than making i'tikaf for 10 solid years. Greater than making i'tikaf for 10 years when you fulfill your Muslim brother's need. He says, and making i'tikaf just one day. One day. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala distances the person in i'tikaf from the fire of Jahannam by 3 trenches away. Each trench, the distance of which is between the sky and the earth. To understand the purity, the cleanliness of his heart. Somebody saw him one day, make some accusations or saw at him, abused him. Abdullah bin Abbas then said, you are swearing me. I've got these 3 simple qualities in my life. When I read the Quran, Allah has given me such understanding of the ayat that I have a burning desire, a genuine, sincere desire at the time that how I wish every single ummati of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also would get this understanding of this particular ayat so that they may also bring into amal this injunction of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then he says, you know how happy I become, I rejoice when I hear that in some land of the Muslims who were suffering some drought, there was no rain, and suddenly Allah is sending down rain upon them. I become so happy. Although I've got no animals, no livestock, I've got nothing to do with those people. I'm not going to benefit in any way. But I become happy on the happiness of my Muslim brother. And then he says, that I become so happy when I hear that a judge has given a justice according to justice. He's ruled with justice. I become so happy when he does this and he does not use zulam and oppression. He's not biased. He gives a fair, genuine judgment and verdict. Although, I doubt in my life I will ever even have to face this judge in my life. I've got no dealings with him, nothing. In other words, he was so sincere for the well-being of the Muslim ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. My respected brothers and elders, time is exhausted. There is so much more we can understand from the biography. This is just a glimpse of Abdullah bin Abbas radiallahu ta'ala, who was known as the mufassir of this ummah, who had got the true understanding of the Quran, the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. May Allah give all of us the tawfiq of reading more and bring these lives of the Sahaba into our lives, our family's lives, and especially our little children who have commenced this school year. Let us also focus on the madrasa studies, on the deen studies. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.